today in 2009. See, I was only a year off. That's 9 years ahead of where I usually am. So, Christmas was good this year at Northwest. We had great times at the Advent services. Found out that many of you have wonderful dramatic skills. So we'll be tapping into that more and more as the year goes on. And then Christmas Eve, another highlight. At our home, Christmas was, of course, affected by the passing of Kathy's mother. But we still managed to have Christmas, and one of Kathy's gifts every year is wonderful meals and yummy treats. I managed to work my way through all of that, and that leads to some other New Year's things. Got some presents. I got a big package of gum. That wasn't the only thing I got, but, you know, the kind for your breath. So, thanks. That was from the elders. I don't know. Got a book, devoured that in a couple of days. The gift Kathy and I got for each other this year were tickets to the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Yeah. That was fun and a good show. I don't know, is Charlie here? Charlie's not here. After years of bugging me to go to TSO, I no longer have to listen to Charlie tell me how great it is. Now I know how great it is. It's a really good show, laser light show, and all kinds of fireworks and flames and everything. What? Now I understand. That's right. But I've done the best I can to put into service every gift that I've gotten so far this year, that every gift I got at Christmas. You understand the same thing. Gifts are not given to be admired or put on a shelf. They're given to be used. And if you got a Wii or an iPod or an iPhone or something, you've probably already put into service. If you got clothes, you've probably already worn them. Unless they were winter clothes, because winter's over now. Sorry about that. If you got a book, it's probably already at least been cracked. And if you got food, it's probably already mostly gone. What I want to do this morning is just consider this Christmas in January. We're going to take a look at a very wonderful gift that God has given. This is direct from the hand of God, and it's one you definitely don't want to shelve. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to focus on a theme Paul develops in his first letter to the Corinthians. This is a tremendous theme. 1 Corinthians is often referred to as an occasional book, meaning that it was occasioned by questions the Corinthians had for Paul. They wrote their questions in a letter. He wrote 1 Corinthians back to answer their questions. And they had questions about all kinds of stuff. They had questions about male-female relationships, marriage, divorce, remarriage, lawsuits. And then among the questions they had to ask Paul, they asked questions about spiritual gifts. They had confusions and wonderings about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts is a very important topic. It was in the first century, and it is today as well. In 1 Corinthians 12 is one of the passages in the New Testament where Paul talks more about spiritual gifts than just about any other place in the New Testament. Now, the bulk of 1 Corinthians 12 is a discussion of life in the church and the beauty of the unity of the body of Christ. It is a tremendous passage. He tells us that we have fundamental experiences that we enjoy together. We have all been baptized by the Holy Spirit. We have all drunk of the Holy Spirit, regardless of demographics, slave free, regardless of ethnicity, Greek, Gentile, we are one. Our similarities far outweigh any differences we might have. Makes all of our differences trivial and all of our similarities, because we're in Christ, that's the weighty stuff. That's the important stuff. Bottom line, in the church, you are necessary if the church is going to function the way it needs to. And the other bottom line is, you need the church if you're going to function as a Christian the way you're supposed to function. The church is not preaching. The church is not elders and deacons. The church is not youth ministry. The church is not missions. The church is not care groups. The church is not music. The church is a body. It's a whole bunch of people and all kinds of ministries all working together to the glory of God. That's the church. It's like a body. We are interdependent with each other. And having established that, and how important you are to the proper functioning of the church, and how important the church is to the proper functioning of you, now it's time to talk about spiritual gifts. Paul starts off by taking us to square one. He says, it's all about Jesus. When you talk about the church or spiritual gifts or anything like that, it's all about Him. So beginning in verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. He wants us to know this stuff. You know that when you were pagans, before you put your faith in Jesus, you were led astray to the dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Affixed to the bumpers of the chariots in the first century world were the words, Caesar is Lord. That was from an archaeological dig Charlie discovered this past week. If you put on your chariot, Jesus is Lord, that identified you as an enemy of the state. Everybody knows Caesar is Lord. We submit to him. But the Christians of the first century world went around saying, Jesus is Lord. That meant they're submitting to Jesus, not Caesar. It's a radical statement. Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's what we believe here. We believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. It means he's the second person of the Trinity. He is God. It means that he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It means he's the only one who can make a legitimate offer of salvation. The only person who can make a legitimate offer of salvation is a Lord. And that's who Jesus is. And all those who have understood that Jesus is Lord and have placed their trust in this Lord have received certain gifts. Just think about this. Stuff like forgiven sin. How great is it to know that every bad thing you have ever thought or done is forgiven? How great is it to know that when you take your last breath and you die, the next nanosecond, you are direct in the presence of God, eternal life. How great is it to know that just because you put your trust in this Lord Jesus Christ, you are now a son or a daughter of God? How does that get any better than that? And let me just interrupt myself and say, if you've come here this morning and you have never placed the treasure of your trust in Jesus for salvation, maybe you never even knew that he was the Lord who could offer salvation, but if before today you have never placed your trust in him for salvation, you can do that today. And you can know what it is to be a son or a daughter of God. And I don't care if you are young or old, a man or a woman, if you've been coming to church for a long time, or if this is the first time in a long time you've been to church, God is standing like this. He's with open arms waiting for you to come to him, and he will receive you, and he'll give all those gifts. They can be yours. Eternal life, forgiven sin, every last one of them, dozens more besides that. And if you would like to talk about what it might look like to put your faith in Christ and become a Christian, becoming a Christian isn't being a nice person, it's having a relationship with God, but if you'd like to explore what that might look like, I would love to talk with you about it. So come see me after the service or give me a call sometime. I'd love to talk with you. Among the gifts that Jesus gives to every person who puts their faith in him is something the Bible calls a spiritual gift. Spiritual gifts are discussed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 4. They are God things. Specifically, they are Spirit of God things. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives every single Christian a gift. And every Christian doesn't have the same gift as every other Christian. I have certain gifts and you have certain gifts and those gifts may be very different. The same Spirit gives to each one of us our gift. I have a pastoring and a teaching gift. You may have a leadership or an evangelism or a serving gift. The gifts that I have been given to me by the Holy Spirit. The gifts you have been given to you by the Holy Spirit. So there's no boasting. Why would anybody boast? It's like boasting about something you get under the Christmas tree. You don't boast about a gift. You don't feel inferior. You don't feel superior about a gift. It's a gift. It's also, spiritual gifts are also a Son of God, a Jesus thing. Now, there are varieties of ministries in the same Lord. Verse 5. So the Spirit hands out gifts to every Christian, and Jesus is the one who creates and provides ministry contexts in which we exercise those gifts. There might be in this room right now 10 people who have the gift of teaching. Well, Jesus has created contexts and ministry settings in which those gifts can be exercised. One person may teach high schoolers. One person may teach fourth graders. One may teach four-year-olds. One may go downtown and teach at a men's homeless shelter. One may do one-on-one discipleship. All kinds of different settings, dozens of settings in which the gifts may be exercised. And then it's also, gifts are a God the Father thing. There are a varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. God the Father is the one who gives results. Okay, everybody breathe a big sigh of relief. Results are not up to us. God is the one who brings about the effects from the exercise of our gifts. One missionary may go to Costa Rica or Guatemala and be there for a few years and see hundreds of people come to Christ. Another missionary may go to Pakistan or Morocco and see over 20 years 4 people come to know Christ. God is the one behind the scenes orchestrating the results both missionaries see. But every Christian has received a gift, courtesy of the Holy Spirit. Every Christian will be provided a context in which that gift can be exercised, courtesy of Jesus. And every Christian who exercises that gift will see results, courtesy of the Father. Now, every gift, Christmas, birthday, spiritual, is given for a purpose. And the purpose for which you have been given a spiritual gift is given in verse 7. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Your gift has been given to you by the Spirit of God for the good of the whole church, and more broadly, the good of the cause of Christ. There are some gifts that are given that will never be used, at least past mid-January. Some people have probably received exercise equipment, and by January 15th, it'll be a great clothes rack. And that's a tragedy. But your spiritual gift is not to be admired. It's not to be put on the shelf. It is to be put to use, put into service vigorously, enthusiastically. Now. So you're thinking, okay, spiritual gift sounds pretty good. Let's hear some more about this. What else can you tell me? What's a spiritual gift? What's a for instance? Okay. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul lists 9 gifts. So all we have to do is read through the 9 gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 and we'll know, well, I've got one of those. Not so fast. There are actually 4 different passages in the New Testament that give us lists of spiritual gifts. There's this one, 1 Corinthians 12. There's another one in Romans chapter 12, which is another laundry list, but there's lots of stuff that's different from this list in 1 Corinthians 12. There's another one in Ephesians chapter 4. And there, Paul lists some of the leadership gifts given to people who give leadership to the church. And then, in 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter just divides all of Christendom into people who have gifts of service and gifts of speaking. So none of the gifts are identical, and all 4 of the gifts list gifts in different kinds of categories. So, what I would say is we can be certain that none of the gifts are comprehensive lists. I would go one step further and suggest that even taken together, the lists of gifts we have in the New Testament are not comprehensive lists. I believe, based on the way Paul and Peter give us the lists, that these are for instances. He's saying the Spirit of God gives Christians abilities and skills and passions and interests that He uses in tremendous ways, and what we have in the Bible are for instances. These are some of the ways He does it, but not comprehensive lists. Now here's the list we have in 1 Corinthians 12. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit, and I'm not going to make any comments about these, just want to read through the list and see some of the gifts that Paul mentions here. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the effecting of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the distinguishing of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. That's a great list. You read through that list, or you read through Romans, or the other lists, and you wonder, wow, I wonder which one is mine. I wonder what my gift is. That's a great question, and that question has been wrestled with over the centuries. Over the past couple of generations, something new has developed. Over the past couple of generations, mainly by Americans, there have been developed diagnostic tools to help you and me discover what our gifts are. And the tools are helpful. I mean, some of them are very sophisticated, some of them are pretty simple, but all of them, I think, are helpful to helping us confirm suspicions. I wonder if my gift is in this area, or I've got interest in this area. That tool might help me discover what my gift is. What's fascinating to me is that until the 20th century, the Christian church was unaware of any of these diagnostic tools, and we somehow muddled along. So what I want to suggest is, what do you do if you want to know what your gift is? Well, I think you do what Christians have done for the last 2,000 years. I'm not dissing the tools. In fact, I could see us using some of the tools to great effect here. But for this morning, what I want to say is, if you want to know what your gift is, and if you want to put your gift to work and unwrap that gift that God has for you and put into service, the first thing you do is you pray. Nobody cares more passionately that you exercise the gift that He has given you than God. He's the one who gave you the gift in the first place. And so you pray, and you pray seriously, and you ask God to open your eyes to see how you might serve Him and what ways you might put your gift to work, even if you're not sure what your gift is. Think Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah began with prayer, but it didn't end there. And our search for what we might do with our spiritual gifts begins with prayer, but it doesn't end there. Prayer launches us into ministry. So, having prayed, and always in a spirit of prayer, we then do what is on our heart to do for God. You know, I just see that over and over again in my own life and the lives of people I know well. I think we serve most effectively when we're doing what we really, really love to do for God. Is there something you want to do? If you could just have the greatest opportunity to serve God, is there something in the back of your mind that you say, I'd like to do that? Something you enjoy doing, something you're good at, something that brings glory to God, and you could just really enjoy, well, do that. Just do that thing. Here's an example. Back late summer, Tad Chapman left staff here at church, and that left a leadership vacuum in our coffee shop, Community Blend. So I wondered, the elders wondered, we all thought, what are we going to do about Community Blend? Within 2 weeks of making the announcement that Tad was leaving staff, Michael Chandler and I talked. And Michael Chandler expressed an interest in a mission-oriented coffee shop. One where people could get a great cup of coffee, great hospitality, and talk about Jesus. Michael had never run a coffee shop before. but he'd run similar things. And so we talked, and the elders talked, and the ball was handed to Michael, and he ran with it, and Community Blend is going great. He's doing what he wants to do. Next time you see Michael, just thank him for doing what he wants to do. He's doing a great job with it. That's his thing. Your thing might not be coffee. Maybe your thing is computers. Maybe your thing is athletics. Maybe your thing is plants and flowers, or drama, or music, or anything. But wouldn't it be just like God to use this anything that you love to do, and so that you could leverage that thing and use it for his kingdom to push the purposes of Christ forward? I think it would be just like God to do that, to take the things that you love to do, your passions, your interests, your abilities, and use those things. So do the things that you love to do. And then here's another thing. If you want to find out where you're gifted, try your hand at new stuff. Sorry for getting technical, but I'm quoting Michael Usry. I work with Michael Usry on the local outreach team, and at one of our more recent meetings, Michael said, you know what, I think we ought to just do more stuff. Okay, so that's going to be the motto of the local outreach team. We're going to do stuff. And I think if I had my dream for Northwest this year, it would be that it would be a year of experimentation. We would try new stuff. That we'd be all about trying new things and giving permission and saying, you want to do that? You go do that. For instance, I've been at this gig for a long time. I've been preaching, droning, for 26 years. And I've preached a lot of sermons. I'm sorry, you're asleep. I've preached a lot of sermons. I've preached a lot of sermon series. Almost all of my sermon series, some of them have been topical, but most of them have not been. There's a guy who didn't like the kinds of preaching that I usually do, which is expository. And he said there were two kinds of preaching, topical and suppository. Well, I do expository preaching mostly. I open a book and we look at it and we see what it says. But in 26 years, I have never ever brought a sermon series specifically designed to answer questions people who don't come to church regularly have about life and God. Until now. And starting next Sunday, I'm going to start a new sermon series I'm calling Showstoppers. The idea is that there are certain questions that are so crucial to life and to life being lived well that they have to be addressed before we can get on with life. So you might want to think about inviting some friends who might have questions about life and God, because their questions will be addressed on Sunday mornings. You might want to think about praying for me, too. I'm actually pretty pumped about it. Another experiment, another thing we're going to launch here at church, is the live video feed of Community Blend from the worship service back to the coffee shop. And to give you a better idea of what that might look like, we have this.
Great New Year's Eve party this year.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It's always kind of nice to see people you haven't seen in a while. Hey, so have you thought any more about my offer?
Church. Yeah, I don't think so. I tried church once and, well, it was different. There were all these people lined up in rows and music I didn't know and some guy talked for a long time about stuff I just didn't get. So, I mean, I like our talks about Jesus and God and stuff. Those are great. But church, I don't think so.
Yeah, I hear you. I understand. Church can be a little different. Yeah. I tell you what. How about tomorrow? I'll buy a cup of coffee. Tomorrow's Sunday morning. Let me buy you a cup of coffee.
Okay, well, I like coffee, but what does that have to do with church?
Well, it has everything to do with church. Why don't you meet me about 9:15-ish, 8900 Gilbo. Okay, so the whole building looks like a shopping center, but it's all Northwest Community Church. And where the far building down towards the east side is Community Blend Coffee Shop. Why don't you meet me there?
Okay. Coffee tomorrow morning. I'll see you there.
Awesome.
Good morning. How are you guys today?
Hey, Sam. We're good. How are you?
Good, good. What can I get you? I got this great apple cider that is just wonderful on chilly mornings.
Actually, I'll just stick with black coffee. And Elizabeth, she likes coffee, too. Just lots of room for cream.
Okay, cool. I will get right on that.
Awesome. Thanks.
All right. So this is Community Blend. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's not a bad place.
Wait a second. What about church? What's all this talk about church?
Well, it sort of is church.
In the coffee shop?
Well, yeah. In a few minutes, they're going to broadcast what goes down at the end of the building. They're going to broadcast it right here on the wall.
Okay, well, that's cool.
Yeah, well, you know, good coffee and good friends to hang out with, good fellowship. You know, they're going to broadcast the sermon. It's kind of nice because you don't have to do all the churchy stuff, all the standing and sitting and all that. And if there's anything you don't understand, you can just ask me and I'll explain it to you.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks for inviting me.
Hey, yeah.
Cool.
All right. Our coffee's ready.
One black coffee for Kirk and one black coffee with lots of room for cream for Elizabeth. Hope you guys have a great day. If you need anything else, just let me know.
Thanks, Sam.
No
problem. Hey, we're fixing the start any minute on the wall.
The official launch of the Community Blend live video feed is next Sunday morning. And I'm pumped about this thing. I'm really excited about what the Lord might do with it. The idea is that you, a Northwest Community Church regular, will bring a friend or a family member who is not in the habit of coming to church and will help them get a taste of what church is like by taking in a Community Blend. I'm going to be clear, blunt, that the idea is not that you, a Northwest Community Church regular, would just go to Community Blend for church. Is that clear? One way to look at it is your ticket to enjoy Community Blend is your friend. Somebody who might be freaked out by what goes on here because it's a different culture in here, but they're going to taste and see that the Lord is good by getting a great cup of coffee, great hospitality, and see a worship service in progress so they start to get more comfortable and then get incorporated into the life of the church where we can love on them. That's the vision. That's just two things. New sermon series, video feed. I bet you've got all kinds of ideas of things we could pursue in 2009. We put the wall up. I didn't realize how late it was getting, sorry. Put the wall up on the wall back in November to highlight the idea that you can serve where you want to serve here at the church. You can serve in all kinds of great ways. By putting your name on a wall and writing your name inside a stone, it's saying, this is where I want to serve. And you get in contact with the ministry leader, or the ministry leader gets in touch with you and says, you want to serve? Come on, let's do this thing together. Or you have some new idea that's not represented by any stone on the wall, and you write that new idea that you have in your name, and that's what you want to do. We're going to keep the wall up for a while. Might even move the wall to different parts of the building. Play Where's Wall? But you have ideas. You have things you can do. And how will you ever know if there are these things that you can do and the gifts that God has given you unless you try your hand at some new stuff? So you're going to pray. You're going to do the things that you want to do for God. You're going to try your hand at new things. And one more. You want to ask for advice. You're going to ask for counsel, for feedback from your friends. This is where something Jack Bauer has said over the years. I'll be happy to give you feedback, but if you don't really want to know, don't ask me. And Jack will tell you. He'll tell you kindly, but he'll tell you honestly. And your feedback from friends will help you understand where you're gifted and maybe even where you're not. Years ago, I was put in the position where I chose the paint colors of some place in our building. I was the only person in the building. The paint contractor showed up, and he made me choose the colors in the women's restroom in the upper end of the building. That was me. I have never, ever, since that time, been asked to choose colors again. It's not my gift. However, I do love pastoring people and families through life crises, through good times, bad times. And I've gotten feedback over the years that the Lord has used me in some ways when that's happened. I enjoy counseling, but it's not my strongest gift. You know, I really wish it was, but it's not. But I've gotten feedback to the effect that it's not my strongest gift. Teaching is a very strong gift for me. And the reason I know that, it's been validated by people over the years. So much of what I know about my strengths and my weaknesses is because of feedback I've gotten from people who love me. So much of what you will know about your strengths and weaknesses will be because of feedback you seek and that is given to you by people who love you. So seek it out. Ask. Don't be afraid. The feedback you get will be so helpful. And the bottom line, guys, is that there is a world of hurt out there. People all around us need our help. And God has equipped you, a believer in Jesus, to help. He's given you a gift, and it's wrapped, and it's under the tree, and He wants you to take it, unwrap it, pray. Try your hand at the things you love to do. Try your hand at new things. Seek counsel. And as you do, as you are serving, you'll discover God's giftedness, and He will use you to move forward the purposes of Christ for the common good. Amen? Like a good 2009. Would you please stand with me as we close together? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the many gifts of Jesus. Everything from eternal life to forgiven sin to becoming a part of your family. And thank you that you have given us spiritual gifts, empowerments to serve. I pray that this year will find every one of us rushing to the wall, using the gifts that you've given us in creative and enthusiastic ways. Use us, Father. Use us as a light. Use us as salt. Use us for your glory. We pray all of it in Jesus' name, and we all said together, amen. God bless you.